Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Look through Proverbs, you know, as a father was speaking to his son in the early chapters, he's plotting out, this will bring you wisdom, these things, and that's the straight path.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, as a parent, you are part of the most involved generation of parents ever. Moms and dads all across the country are taking an extremely active role in the lives of their children, which is a good thing. However, even though we're spending more time caring about the needs of our kids, it's important that we avoid the trap of molding them into our image instead of following the blueprint God has for our kids' lives. Well, during the next half hour, I'm going to continue my conversation with Dr. Michelle Anthony. She is truly one of the leading experts in the world of family ministry worldwide. She's an educator, wife, and mom who suggests that a new awakening of parents and families is in order. It involves intentionality and commitment, and most importantly, it's a call for moms and dads to take responsibility for being the primary mentors for modeling faith in their home. Not an easy thing, but I am so glad that you've joined us today as we continue this great discussion right here on Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're continuing a conversation with Michelle Anthony. We're talking about a new awakening for parents and families. She's written a great book. It's called Spiritual Parenting, An Awakening for Today's Families. And I highly recommend this book. Michelle Anthony, incredible person, director of family ministries at Rock Harbor Church in Southern California. She also serves as a family ministry architect for David C. Cook Publishing. Frankly, what she's doing in family ministry at her church is should be looked at in every church in America. She's married to her husband, Michael, for over 20 years, and they have two children living in Southern California. Welcome back to the program. Great to have you.
It's good to be back.
Well, great to have you with us. You said something in your wonderful book, Spiritual Parenting, that actually threw me. You said, we must repent from the temptation to create and mold our children into our image. Mm. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Oh, I think, I think there's this temptation as we have our children, we love them so much, they bear our image. You know, you hold your little baby, you go, oh, look, he's got her nose ears. And then their personality types come out and they're a blend of the heritage that came before them. And so I think that temptation just follows. We go, you look like me, you smell like me, you're in my home. So therefore, you should accomplish either the things that I accomplished or the things I did not accomplish in my life that I wanted to. And it's subtle, but I found it creeping up in ways that I started to see that if I wasn't aware and if I didn't repent of that, that I would send that message to my children that you are here to represent me, to make me look good, and to follow some plan that I've somehow either designed or I hope to design along the way, instead of, no, you were made in the image of God.
Yeah. And we have to get our job description down, because one of the things that I see in Spiritual Parenting, your book, is that really our job is to help build a legacy of faith, not to make them become an attorney or a pastor or a hair designer. It just doesn't matter. I mean, it's more build this legacy of faith. And so as parents, we've got to kind of take a step back. One of the things that I really got a lot out of in your message is that there's kind of a paradox. You know, the adolescent years seem to be growing. You know, you could be 24 and still be almost a latent adolescence, or what we call emerging adult. And yet it seems like it's shrinking for actually influencing faith. It's getting shorter.
Yeah. Right. Well, we know from studies, sociologically or from psychology, that the parent is the most influential person in a child's life between the years of like 0 and 12. The kids themselves will say that in reports. So we know that those are highly influential years. And yet it seems like we wait until some of those later years to have the kinds of conversations or to do the sorts of things, because we're just trying to get through the day. Right. In the earlier years. Right. And so we keep thinking, well, they're little, we're just, you know, I'm teaching them to eat right and potty training and getting them to sports and carpooling and homework. And I'm exhausted and I'm working on my marriage and finances are hard. And so we keep putting it off. Well, tomorrow, well, next year, well, when they're older, or when we can actually sit down and do that. And instead of this concept that Ephesians 5 talks about in redeeming all the time,
right.
The language in Ephesians 5 is really rich. It's this extreme word of redemption, of redeeming, of buying back. It means in totality. So that means everything. And then when it talks about time, it uses the word kairos, which happens to be ripe, seasonable, opportune moments. And when we really look at passing on faith, we have to have eyes to say every moment of every day, even when I'm doing laundry, even when I'm doing carpool, how do I redeem this? Yeah. This is a teachable moment.
Right. You know, and I think sometimes, almost all the time, actually, I would say, you know, those best conversations, those faith conversations, they come when you're doing the laundry or when you're driving in carpool. They kind of don't come when you're sitting at the table and saying, okay, now we're going to talk about Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, that almost, you know, turns them in another way. But one of the things that I appreciated that you said in your book is that you find ways to remember and celebrate, you know, some of the spiritual milestones. In a practical way, what are you talking about there?
Yeah, this whole concept of remember and celebrate is throughout all of history. In fact, God commanded his people to remember and celebrate. So it's something, we're forgetful people. And so we made markers of how can we just pause and remember the good things that God has done? What are even the accomplishments that he has done through each of the kids? And I think a lot of families have traditions of celebrating. You know, there's birthdays and graduations and things like that. But framing them, you know, if you take those things and again, you redeem them. So at a graduation, how is it that God displayed his faithfulness? All those nights when you were studying or you thought you wouldn't pass that exam or you had that friendship problem. Let's remember the ways. So it's again, like you said, it's more in the natural rhythm.
Right.
But calling it out, seeing the way that God had been walked that journey with you.
You know, and you're right. It's in the regular stuff.
Yeah, it's the regular
stuff. We didn't do this with our first two, but with our last one, when she got her driver's license, we made a big deal. We blessed her. We did a celebration. It was a milestone. Mm-hmm. And we kind of commissioned her. And we commissioned even her driving. Well, you know what? It sounded kind of geeky, but it was really neat. And she took it really serious because this was one of the biggest things in her life, you know. So why not when the kids, you know, are in Little League or when they graduate from kindergarten or when they graduate, obviously, from high school or whatever the deal is, you know, celebrate. Remember, celebrate.
Yeah.
And remember that God had a part of this.
Right.
Because we tend to put God in, you know, if the particular church does kind of a confirmation program or, you know, there was vacation Bible school or something, of course God's in that. But is God in Little League? Well, God is in Little League. God is in that dance recital.
Well, and what's fun about that is to put that back on our children and to say, in what ways did you see God?
Yeah.
And it's
really
amazing how they see it. Well, I remember he gave me strength or gave me courage and things that we might not have even known had we not asked that question. And what's important about that is, you know, someday they will leave our home and we want them to have flexed muscles and have these kinds of conversations with God in the natural flow of life. And so sometimes we would do remember and celebrate at a family dinner when there was nothing specific to celebrate, so that it's not just the marker points on the calendar. It's just because he's God. So we'd say, tonight's remember and celebrate. And there'd be a red plate out because we do the red plate.
Yeah.
What are we celebrating? We're just going to celebrate. I don't know. And people would be like, oh, I don't know. And then you'd start talking. You'd have to cut it off because we'd start remembering all the little things.
Yeah. You know, it's these basic little things. Is that a family devotional time? Because I think a lot of times people think family devotions are saying, you know, in the Greek it means or whatever. And that's not necessarily it. It's celebrating the red plate and remembering.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great. One of the other things that I appreciate is you encourage parents to create what you call an environment of service.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Early on, when I was being awakened to that, it wasn't me who was going to transform my child's heart. So that was really freeing for me, by the way, Jim, to say, God, oh, that's not my job. I don't have to do transformation. I'm not failing. I'm not succeeding. It's not my job. Then it's kind of like, well, if God's job is transformation, what is my job? And I feel like really the answer for me became to create an environment where God can do his job. And so those became really practical for me. And I kind of gave them words. The book has 10 different ones that I unpacked. And one of them is service, because really the service asks the question, what needs to be done? And think about that. What if we got up every morning and we went into every situation simply just asking that question, what needs to be done? I wanted that.
It would transform a marriage. If I walked into Kathy tonight and say, hey, what needs to be done?
That?
Problem is, Kathy would give me a list.
I know.
No, but that's a great thing
but
to be thinking
you
about.
You get to ask God. You don't
that's
ask
right.
somebody else.
Yeah,
because
that's good.
We all have our own agenda. We get to ask God. And sometimes it's physical, like a room needs to be cleaned or I need to drop off a meal for somebody. But sometimes it's sitting with someone in silence. Just
right.
being there. Sometimes it's praying for someone, but having that posture, I think, is actually something that is cultivated in the home in the very early stages of our children's life that carries them on to even understanding what it means to be in relationship with God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about that worship is our spiritual act toward God.
Yeah.
And what's fun is that the word worship and service are the same. And so you can't even worship God without serving him and others. We can't serve without making that an act of worship. And so, I would walk in and instead of me nagging my children, the laundry needs to be done. How come the dishes aren't done? How come nobody's fed the dog or the cat? I can walk in and say what needs to be done. And then they have to ask that question. And because someday I'm not going to be there to tell them what needs to be done. They have to learn to flex that muscle and ask that question for themselves.
Yeah. And you know, so oftentimes I find that kids, when they do serve, and it could be feeding the dog, and it could be, you know, helping build a home in the dump someplace or whatever. But, you know, when they do, you know, the call to Christ is the call to serve. They feel God's presence when they serve.
Absolutely.
And so when they get a taste of it, so a lot of times I'm saying to parents, do it with your kids. Don't just, if the kids are in junior high or high school, don't just send them on the church mission trip. Literally, go serve with them.
Right.
And experience that. I'd say one of my best mission experiences was when two of my girls were in high school and we went to Mexico and we had an amazing experience and we laughed and we worked together and we sweat together and we snuck out for pizza one night together. But, you know, it was the kind of thing that was,
it was
really a special thing because we did it together.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I think because that's modeling too. You're modeling a heart of service.
No, it's very important.
Yeah.
Exactly. Listen, we'll take a break and we'll be right back with more. We're going to talk about discipline. Don't go away.
Great conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. I'm so glad you've tuned in. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, brand new to NCAA Division II this fall. And we're very, very excited. There's kind of an electricity here on campus that the students are excited, the instructors are excited. We're excited, too. And it's happy times for us to be up here on campus and just kind of feeling that great momentum that's happening here. But if you want to check out more about what's happening at Azusa Pacific, you can visit our online resource center at homeward.com. And while you're online with us, be sure to look at the articles and tip sheet section, actually the articles and media section of our online resource center. So much information there on parenting. If you just, there's a little box that says get answers after you hit that articles and media tab. If you type in parenting, you're going to find hundreds of different articles, video clips, audio clips, and more that will lead you to the information you're looking for, tips about books that Jim has written, and more. You'll find it all when you go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Michelle Anthony with us, a continuing conversation. We're talking about a new awakening for parents and families. You know, I know that in the heart of most parents who are listening anyway, they really want their kids to thrive spiritually. And it seems to be the muscle that we don't flex because, again, we're just trying to get them, you know, through their homework tonight. And yet, really, what we want as we take a step back is for our kids to grow in their faith and for kids to have a faith that really lasts and that becomes a legacy of faith to the next generation. And yet, at the same time, we have to do the practical stuff. I want Michelle us to talk about discipline for a moment. Oftentimes, we're either too tough on our children or we're not tough enough, but you remind us that spiritual parenting digs deeper to penetrate the heart and give the child kind of a glimpse of his soul and motivation. And actually, you called it discipline that heals.
Yeah, and boy, gosh, discipline, we deal with that as parents every single day. I mean, that's the reality of it. And I think so many of us are searching for a discipline model. Like, what am I supposed to do? We don't want to mess them up.
Yeah.
Like you said, we don't want to be too hard. We don't want to be too easy. And, you know, as I was looking in scripture again, how does God discipline us? If he's Father, how does he discipline us? Are there things that we can extract from that? And I came to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 13, that really outline these three steps. And
walk us through those.
Yeah. Two. Okay. The first one being pain. I think we're all very familiar. It says the author of Hebrews says that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather painful. Okay, we get that. But I think what happens is as parents, maybe how we were parented or in kind of the urgency of the moment, we stop at pain.
Yeah.
So when we stop at pain and we don't do the other two steps, that's punishment. That's really like, you did something wrong. Here's the pain. Debt paid. And really the way that God fathers us and parents us is not through punishment because of Christ. We have this like this more redemptive piece to it. And so since we are wanting to reflect the Father, we have to go on to the next two steps. So pain is definitely a part of it. And I always say, you know, pain for each child is different. You know, some might be timeouts, some might be to spank, some might be to take away some privilege, but you have to determine that. The second stage that Hebrews talks about is that you strengthen what was broken down through the pain. So it's the building up in love. And so often, maybe in our own anger, lack of time, our frustration, we don't pause in that moment of delivering the pain to affirm our children, to remind them how much we love them. Again, they may roll their eyes, they may shrug us off if we're trying to hug them, to pray with them, whatever it is. But that reminder of building them up in love is such an important second step. And then thirdly, the verses lead us to, and then to set a corrected path, to set straight roads for them to walk on. And that's where we get to use our wisdom. We get to say, hey, next time, maybe if you did it this way, or next time, let's try this. And this is the course that God wants for you. And this is why, and this is what it will, this is the benefit as your life. Again, they might not have ears to hear, but we're giving that to them.
But I think they do have ears to hear. They may not act like it.
Right.
And that may go for years without that. But I'm finding now that my kids are older, they're coming back quoting some things that we said, and I went, I had no idea you were
They're
really
listening.
They're
wanting that wisdom. Yeah. And if you look through Proverbs, you know, as a father was speaking to his son in the early chapters, he's plotting out, this will bring you wisdom, these things, right. And that's the straight path. I think so often, even early in my own parenting, I would be like, stop that bad behavior. Just stop. Right. Just don't do it. Here's the spanking. Here's your timeout. Here's your consequence. Right. Let's move on. And we didn't affirm our relationship in love. We didn't give them eyes to see an envisioned future, how this could be different. And so they're left with, all I really know is how to do this, act out in this bad behavior. I only know to hit my brother when I'm frustrated. I only know to cheat when I'm not getting good grades. And I know I'm going to get in trouble if I don't get good grades. I don't have the tools.
Right. Well, you know, one of the tools, which I thought was interesting that you talked about, was identity, you know, having a right identity, an identity in Christ. And your daughter had a season in her life where she just did something really silly and wrong.
Right.
And, you know, she's going to get dust for it. But yet her note said, you know, I lost my identity there for a bit. I remember reading it in your book. Explain that.
Yeah. She threw a party at our house when we weren't there one night, and the destruction was great. We came home to really just a war-torn house, and it got completely out of control, even more than she had imagined. And in the non-spiritual parenting quadrant of my brain, I'm just, you know, I'm like thinking, what horrible things can I inflict?
Yeah, because, almost murder.
Yeah, because you've embarrassed us. My husband works for the police department as a chaplain. The police had to come, and they show up. Isn't this Chaplain Mike's house? You know, our neighbors. And then we had over $3,000 of things stolen from us. And, you know, kind of you're assessing the damage. And I'm angry. I'm thinking, how can I hurt? You know, how can I bring pain? And going back to a spiritual parenting model is to ask the question, God, what is it that you're doing in the life of my child right now? And I'd asked her to write a letter based on, who are you? You know, she was 16 years old at the time. I said, who is a 16-year-old girl that says that they want to follow Christ? You tell me. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. And as she wrote it, it was beautiful. It was, you know, something like I probably would struggle to write, because I believe that God was helping her pen that, so she knew it. And as I was praying, saying, God, what are you doing? I'm recognizing that she knows technically who she is, but it's kind of an identity lost moment. And we all suffer moments of forgotten identity. And that's because the enemy wants to come in and invade and give us a new counter identity. And so I could take away her cell phone. I could take away her car. I could ground her for life. But are any of those things going to restore a forgotten identity? And so as I just pled with God to tell me, what is it that you want me to do? I just had this thought in my head. She just needs to spend time with you to remember. And so I went to my husband and I said, I know you're going to think I'm crazy because she should be being grounded for life. And yet I just want to take her away to the mountains with me for a few days, take her away from everything and remind her. And so that's what we did. And I had to agree that I wasn't going to allow other people's opinions of what I was doing change what I was believing God was saying to me. And as we were up in the mountains, we played tennis. We stayed up late. I read to her. We watched movies. We went for walks along the water, and we ate at little cafes. And at every moment, I was just reminding her who she was and her history and how God had been working in her life and the things that had been true of her, the statements she had made. And I was watching her awaken. I was watching her remember. And we have our identity is in crises because we are vulnerable to spiritual amnesia or to relational amnesia with our God because of the hostility of our culture. And our children are going to make mistakes. And there were natural consequences to that party. You know, she apologized to our neighbors and she had to pay back things that were lost. But the pain kind of came in natural consequences. But as God was reminding her who she was, that was healed. And that's what you talked about before. I mean, the whole purpose in Hebrews chapter 12 says, so that which is broken might be healed. And what was broken in my daughter on that occasion was she had forgotten who she was. And the healing was that she needed to remember.
You know what I appreciate that you just said was she experienced the natural consequences. You didn't have to do much. Right. I mean, obviously, she had to pay things back. Those were natural consequences. Mm-hmm. She had to apologize. Those are natural consequences. But that what your job was to help her remember who she really is. Phenomenal conversation. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Michelle Anthony, phenomenal conversation today. You know, at Homeward, we have a phrase that says the purpose of Homeward is to mentor churches so that churches can mentor parents. Parents mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation. I want to challenge you as a parent to, you know, get all the help you can. There's great resources out there, not just Homeward, but other places. Go to your church, go to the person who's working within families or children or youth or whatever and say, what can you do to help us help our family? And then what can you also do to serve them? But you know what? It's a long marathon. We're not talking about a sprint here. And have that eternal perspective and help your kids remember. Good book would be Spiritual Parenting. I highly recommend it. Michelle, again, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Roger.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Michelle Anthony here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme for these programs, A New Awakening for Parents and Families. Dr. Michelle Anthony, the author of the book Spiritual Parenting, as Jim just mentioned, it's a book he highly recommends. You can learn more about that in our online resource center today at homeward.com. Lots of other great parenting resources there too. Articles and media section has lots of free tip sheets and video clips. And of course, if you'd like to order any of Jim's parenting books like Confident Parenting or Teenology or The Purity Code, Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality, just a few of the titles that are available for purchase. And when you buy Jim's books directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, you are also helping to support the ministry of Homeward. We're a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach, and we truly appreciate your prayers and faithful financial support. So you can take care of that transaction, give a gift, or order a resource through homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.